Have you ever been obsessed with Christmas and then needed to know about Hanukkah for your stupid job? And then you meet a Hanukkah boy and you teach him about Christmas and he teaches you about Hanukkah, and then you break up with your boyfriend and you fall in love with him and his grandma, who owns little mitzvahs. Well, guess what? You're in a movie called Mistletoe and Menorahs, as seen on Tubi.
We wish you a merry Netflixmas. We wish you a merry Netflixmas. We wish you a merry Netflixmas and a sappy new year.
Shalom and welcome to Netflix Mus, or should we call it Netflixmas? Did I fuck that up? It's fine. I am one of your hosts, Scarlett Alexandra.
And I am the other host, Holly Cuomo.
And Holly, we are discussing such a fun movie today because it is the only movie that I've ever heard of that is a Hanukkah rom-com movie.
Yeah, I've seen rom-coms with like a Jewish family in it,
Yeah.
but like never one centered around Hanukkah. And I fucking love this movie. I
Oh,
fucking
it's.
love this movie.
But yeah, so we have a guest today.
Yay.
Her name is Jill Friedman.
Yeah. Hey, Jill.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. This is exciting.
Why might you be an expert guest on this subject matter?
Well, as you said, my name is Jill Friedman, and I'm Jewish. That's how I'm the expert.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
That's awesome.
It's true, ladies and gentlemen, there is an actual real life Jew on the podcast. Sound the alarms. No, please don't.
If it's an alarm going, yay, then yeah.
That's okay. It plays hot on
Before we started the podcast, me and Jill were talking about why there's so much more Christmas songs than Hanukkah songs. And I was like, well, we had the Renaissance. Where was the Jewish Renaissance? And what did you say?
I said, we were busy running for our fucking lives. We never had the chance.
Oh boy, yeah.
Every like 70 years, we'd get real comfortable and oops, time to run away again.
Oh, that's our bad. And I say R as in the sort of just like Jude, you know, the Anglo-Saxon realm of whiteness that I am.
I'm Asian, so.
Speaking of Christmas songs, Jews wrote most of the best ones.
I don't doubt it.
Irving Berlin, baby.
Oh.
He was a chosen one.
Because I was like, wait, dreaming of a white Christmas? Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah. Got it.
And just also like a lot of like the Tin Pan Alley stuff. I mean, just.
Music in general plays a role in this
Yeah,
movie.
it does. It
Ooh,
does.
I'm so excited. I love this movie. I've literally seen this movie like 10 fucking times in the last month. I fucking love this goddamn movie.
Seriously?
So like
I mean, I
seriously, I
liked
watched
it.
This movie.
it. Now I feel like an underachiever for only watching it once.
I mean, that's fine. Y'all do
Same.
you. I'm gonna do me. I'm gonna keep watching this movie all the time. This is now turned into one of my movies that I'll watch when I'm sad and I want to feel better. This is going in with
Oh.
Hot Fuzz. This is going in with Mr. Right, Silence of the Lambs,
Dang.
Paul, and Detective Pikachu. These and Pride and Prejudice. These are the shits I can watch over and over again and not get sick of it.
Which Pride and
The only one
Prejudice,
I
though?
agree with out of that list is Pride and Prejudice.
Both. I will watch the Keira Knightley version, but I prefer to watch like the Jennifer Ely Colin Firth version
That's the
because it's
95 version.
longer.
You're wrong. Colin Firth is not like a he's like him
Well,
is like a sex symbol.
I
Come
like the
on.
movie as it. Yeah,
Yes.
I like the
Okay,
series
here's
as
the thing about
itself.
Colin Firth. Here's the thing about Colin Firth. Did you ever see What a Girl Wants?
I have a few times.
That's a movie where they literally forgot. Where Colin Firth is so hot, they forgot that it was father and daughter and had to like shoehorn an age-appropriate love interest. into that movie because Colin Firth was serving so hard in those leather pants.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Kelly
Preston. I have opinions. I'm sorry.
Just serving it. Yeah, I did watch Bridget Jones' Diary for the first time the other day, which I know is egregious, especially for probably the audience who listens to this podcast.
I've never seen A Christmas Story, and I'm unapologetic about it. I don't give a
Yeah, you're not missing much.
Yeah,
A Christmas Story, like the one that takes place in the 1950s with the Red Ryder shot? That was the first play I was ever in when I was 8 years old.
And they did the race station scene?
Oh. It's been a while.
Yeah, we got to see that fucking plane land. That was incredible. Holy shit.
Oh, I was also in Thoroughly Modern Millie.
Which I also has some problematic elements, I think.
Yeah, there's a really problematic, because there's for sure yellow face.
Ooh,
straight up yellow face, like written into the script.
Nine donka.
Big ol' yikes.
Big ol' yikes. But she's a villain, so she's doing yellow face, but she's a villain.
No.
Oh, okay.
But I love this movie so much.
It's so cute.
And it's the girl from freaking Pitch Perfect.
Yeah.
She's one of the girls in Pitch Perfect. She's one of the ones that it's the reoccurring joke where they're like, "We're still here. Did you guys forget about us?" She's one of those girls. And you're like, "Oh yeah, shit, no, Anna Kendrick's such a star. We did forget about you."
Yeah, because she wasn't a super memorable person in Pitch Perfect, but I love that in this movie they were still able to show off her like badass vocals.
Yeah.
It was really good.
What were your initial thoughts about this movie, Jill?
So I have a lot of opinions. The thing that actually really just sort of kept tripping me up about the movie on both sides of the equation, both Christy and Jonathan, was how are you in that kind of a bubble that you have completely missed the traditions of this other culture that is right next to yours? And like,
I have two things to say about this is like, there is definitely an amount of suspension of disbelief that you just need to roll with in this movie for the movie to happen.
Right.
But there are two elements. So the writer himself is an Israeli Jew who moved from to New York City when he was 10 years old.
Okay.
And fell in love with a Christian lady. And they learned about each other's religions and learned about each other's holidays and just kind of like fell in love with it.
Oh my God.
So it's partially due to his experience. The other aspect of this is that this is a movie, it doesn't take place in Canada, but it's a Canadian film. It's filmed in Canada. It's all Canadian actors. The Jewish population in all of Canada is like 1.1% of the population.
And they're mostly in Toronto and Montreal and Vancouver, I believe.
The big old cities. Oh my gosh, that makes the story so much better.
Montreal actually has one of the oldest Jewish populations in the U.S. Or excuse me, in the U.S. in North America. Sorry. I didn't know that about the writer. That actually does put a different spin on it for me. So for me, I grew up, my family was Jewish, but my mom never converted. And like 11 months out of the year, we were Jewish. But December, mom turned that apartment into Christmas town. Like, we had a wreath, we had a tree, we had like Christmas napkins and like holly all over the place. And my mom's family is Scandinavian. She had these cute little like little elf troll things that she would like hide around the apartment. And they like each one had a special place, and it went back there every year. And I got like an advent calendar. And like Christmas Eve was like my mom's big thing, like that was the holiday she hosted, and God, we would cram. I think 24 people was the most we ever had. But this is in like a New York City apartment, so like 24 people just like crammed in, and so like for me, there was never there was never the option to not know Jewish traditions or Christian traditions. That was just like what was in the house. But like, yeah.
Did not know any of it. Cause he even, the thing that bothered me the most is again, like even barring the suspension of disbelief that you need to have for this premise in the first place.
Yeah.
Is the fact that he's like this world traveler and a teacher right. who loves to learn about other things.
God, it's I didn't think of that.
And you don't even know about the basics of Christmas or Christianity. Like does she have to be like, okay, so there's this guy named Jesus. Like, yeah. What?
Well, like, newsflash.
Yeah, they didn't go through any of the religious aspects of it, because I would imagine he would know about Christianity, but I don't think he knew how to celebrate Christmas time, I guess, secularly. Because, mm-hmm. He didn't know about Christmas tree, he didn't know about eggnog, he didn't know about fruitcake, he didn't know about wreaths.
Okay, but here's where it actually really tripped me up. I apologize if I'm jumping really way ahead. Chicago, as a city, is known for its Christmas market. I have been to Chicago once. I went to Chicago once in August, and I still know that they have this, like, worldwide known Christmas market.
I didn't know that. Is it called Tinseltown?
No, I think it's actually like a Christian, whatever the German word for Christmas market. No, that's not
nope.
it.
Nope. I'm going to edit that out.
Yeah.
Let's start with that. That's when the Germans bombed all the Jews. I'm really sorry.
Oh no.
Holly, don't feel bad. I nearly said the same thing. You're good.
Don't edit that. People need to know. I didn't.
Oh God.
Oh my God. I'm not crying, but like, come on. I can make that mistake because German's not my language, but I at least knew what the fuck it was as soon as I made that mistake.
Right. Like I said, I nearly made the same goddamn mistake, so you're good.
Well, Nacht is night.
Yeah. Quick Debbie Downer history lesson.
Hooray!
November 9th, 1930, I forget. Bad Jew. Right after, this was the point in the ramp up to the Third Reich where, like, it was like, oh, they are not playing around. They really are going to do this thing. Where they basically had forced all Jewish businesses to close. They forced Jewish families into ghettos and all kinds of other things. And they went around and smashed the windows in shops owned by Jews, homes, synagogues. And it's called Kristallnacht because of all the smashed glass. And that was pretty much one of the turning points before World War II, when it was like, oh, this group of people really is going to try and do the thing they keep saying they're going to do.
That's a good and depressing piece of history.
I said it was a Debbie Downer history lesson. I'm sorry.
No, I love. I mean, I don't love it, but I don't like that it happened. But I like that I know now, because I mean, like, there is like a lot of like in American history books. They're just like, yeah, World War II happened, but we were the winners.
Right. There's no nuance. Saviors. There's no, like, here's how this actually happened. Just, we won.
Yeah, we won. We did the thing. We're the heroes. Here's America with a big old cape on it. But, okay, so let's talk about Jake Epstein.
I fucking love him.
Yo. All right, so Holly told me, even said, it's Jake Epstein. And my dumbass didn't recognize that name until like third of the way into the movie. There was something about the angle of the shot on his face. And I was just like,
it's Craig, bitch.
That's who it is.
Yeah. Because also Epstein's a super sticky name to have right now.
Ooh, true facts.
But... wow, yeah, Craig from Degrassi, who dated I think every single female
in the show.
Oh, I mean in the show. Every character, sorry, not cast.
He dated a Filipino girl, he dated a white Manny. Girl mm-hmm. He dated the redheaded girl for a little bit, didn't he?
Ashley,
yeah, that was my favorite relationship, actually.
Ellie, god, she just
Dated everyone.
He dated everyone.
So
what a stud.
But,
The girl who plays Ellie is Dan Levy's best friend in real life.
No.
That's why she shows up in that episode of Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Wait, is Dan Levy Canadian?
Yeah. Yes. He's Eugene Levy's son.
Yeah. Well,
I didn't know.
They're Canuck as fuck.
Canuck as fuck. See, we should have had a Canadian perspective on this movie as well. Well,
I spent my senior year of high school following a Canadian band. Is that enough?
What band?
A band called Moxie Fruvis.
Huh. What?
They are from Toronto.
What in the white hell are you listening to?
There's more Debbie Downer stuff that I won't go into on that one. But
yeah, fair enough.
Anyway. Jake Epstein.
Oh, so he, cute.
He got, you know what? I thought he was cute when he was a teenager because I was also a teenager. And then I, like, when the coffee shop scene hit, that's when I, like, recognized him. I was like, oh my God. Yep. He got hot with his scruffy face.
I told Holly this the night that I watched the movie. He grew up to kind of look like one of my brothers, and now I'm mad about it.
Oh, yeah, no good.
Sent me a picture of her brother, and I was like, I can see it. Sucks your brother's hot. Ow.
He's also only 33. Like, I don't know why I was expecting him to be, like, way older than me, but I was like, I was middle school, high school when Degrassi was coming out, so I guess I get it.
Yeah, because they used about, like, actors that were about that age, like, the age appropriate. Oh my God, they deleted that abortion episode.
What?
Yeah, there was a whole ass abortion episode that
they... No, I know, but they deleted it?
They weren't, well, they weren't allowed to show it in the US. Yep.
Oh.
I remember feeling like such hot shit downloading it so I could watch it.
Yeah, Manny had Craig's baby and she aborted it.
I thought I saw that episode, but maybe I didn't.
Maybe you just got the insinuation of it.
Oh, true. I mean, it's been, you know, 10 plus years since I saw that series, but I still have, like, the feelings from it, you know?
Yeah.
Let's see. Also, the best friend, or I guess the secretary lady, is in the new Degrassi as the teacher.
Ooh. Yes. Oh, she was the yoga teacher, I think. Yeah.
Corey Lee, the best friend of color.
Yes. Yeah, she's real cute.
She is cute.
I also, because I remember her from Instant Star, which is another, like, Canadian show that kind of was in the same level as Degrassi, but not nearly as popular, but I loved.
What was it?
It's called Instant Star. It's a very not well-known.
Yeah, I remember that on Noggin.
I liked it. I liked it a lot.
So, John McLaren played Pete. John McLaren, it reminds me of, like, To All the Boys I've Loved Before, because one of the characters is John Ambrose McLaren.
Oh.
That movie was super cute. I like that movie.
It was. Really cute movie. He was in The Covenant. He's in a bunch of Christmas movies and the Good Witch series. He played a good douchebag.
He did. He's also got one of those, like, fairly forgettable faces.
This is the boyfriend?
Yeah.
They did a real hatchet job on him, because when we first meet him, he seems all right. Like, he's, like, supportive, and he's like, yeah, baby, go get that job. And then he brings over dinner because he knows that she didn't eat dinner because she was burning that midnight oil. And then it was like, as soon as that happened, a switch flipped and suddenly he was the shitty boyfriend.
Okay, I'm going to disagree with you.
Okay.
And when we go through the plot, I'll tell you why I disagree with you.
Because I think one of the things I really liked about this movie overall was that each character had complexities that still made sense with the character. Yeah. So it's like, I just thought that the characters were really, really well written and had several different aspects of their personality other than, like, the role that they were playing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that was maybe hinting towards that, in my opinion.
Yeah. Edgar didn't have any complexity. Fuck that little marshmallow pink lip toupee bitch.
What?
Edgar is the bad guy. He was the
oh
corporate spy.
That was such like an afterthought of a B plot.
I'm glad you said that because I had that same thought.
But I like how it was like pretty low stakes. I love a low stakes movie.
True.
Low stakes is what we need right now, honestly.
Yeah. That's probably why I love it.
I kept finding myself just like smiling like ambiently at this movie. Like not because anything in particular, like, you know, happy or fun happened, but like they were just genuinely like the two leads. Just genuinely fun and happy people to watch.
They were great. They were vibing really great.
Yeah, I was just like in this sort of just like ambient, just like, oh, this is nice.
One of the things I actually really liked about the movie was how they used sort of the rom-com shorthand of the complicated order as sort of like a like vague callback to When Harry Met Sally as sort of a way of conveying an element of her personality.
Hmm. That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, we'll talk about this when we get through the plot as well, but I do have a lot of things to say, like in terms of character and how much I do want to commend the script for doing a good job. Like one of my biggest pet peeves is like when they have to like shoehorn in a sentence of the best friend being like, well, you're like this and this and this, and you would never blah, 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 blah. And then you're like, cool, I'm getting all of your personality aspects through one line through a friend and none of it's shown.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You know what I just realized?
What?
There's no dead parents.
I know. I noticed that too.
Yeah.
Did we ever, we never meet his parents. We only meet his grandmother.
Correct. But it is a Schrodinger's dead parent.
Look at situation. That. And you know what? If his parents were dead, it would have gotten dropped. Like that would have been mentioned.
Yeah, it would have had. They would have like a sappy moment where they like almost tell each other's deepest, darkest secrets and like almost kiss. And that definitely would have been a bomb that was dropped at that point. But yeah, we don't know anything about his parents other than he has a living grandmother that is a small business owner
and she's adorable.
Yeah, I love her hair.
I know.
Oh my God. So her name in the story is Tova. Her last name in real life is Tova.
It's a pretty common name, especially, and I think if I recall correctly from her IMDb, she's Israeli, and that's pretty common.
Yeah, she did have an accent. I didn't know if it was real, but no, I guess it's real because you said where she's from.
Now I'm second guessing myself. Shit.
Oh man. So I was saying Guy Youssef was the writer of this, and he's the feller who is the Israeli Jewish person who came to America and had to learn about all of the American traditions.
That makes more sense. By the way, Teresa Tova is from Paris. I knew she was from someplace that was not the U.S. or Canada. That actually gave a lot better context for me because there really is a lot of
it's
insulation from the like Christmas in Israel.
Yeah. And a lot of the plot's pretty ham-fisted, but it also gets across like a feeling and an idea, and I think it's an important feeling and idea to get across. So mm-hmm. I think like, you know, given all of the very silly ness that's inherent, I thought it was something that genuinely I think everyone should see this movie. I think it's got a simple yet complex message to it.
Yes, that Christmas and Hanukkah are all about family and being around the ones you love.
Yeah,
I mean, that was what Christmas and Hanukkah were in my house, so
yeah.
definitely on point there.
Just learning about other religions. You want to get into the plot?
Oh my God. She was in a relationship with Pitch Perfect co-star Adam Devine from 2012 to 2014.
Getting the tea. All right.
Kelly Jekyll. Oh my God. She's also a Cancer. June 27th, 1989.
Nice.
And she's from Sacramento. And she's 5'6". And she kissed Jake Epstein.
Yeah. Okay. That's, I feel like that's her... the thing she should hang on her mantle.
I mean, looking kind of like my brother notwithstanding, I think I'd prefer to kiss Jake Epstein than Adam Devine. But sorry, Adam Devine.
You know what? I'll fuck them both. Threesome.
Like, I would kick him out of bed. I'm just saying, if I had the choice.
Yeah. I wouldn't buy him breakfast.
No, Camellia. No. All right. The plot.
Dun, 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 dun. We all rock.
We start the movie with aerials of Chicago.
Ah.
We see that motherfucking bean. I would like to add a side note. Fuck you, Anish Kapoor.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Team Semple for life.
You can eat my brownest brown, aka my butthole. All right.
The bean. Oh, God. The more you say the bean, a little part of his soul dies. So oh, I like saying it.
The angrier he gets.
The bean.
Oh, man. Shout out to Stuart Semple.
You are not allowed to use this color if you are Anish Kapoor or in any way related to him or his business.
Anyway, so we see a white woman wake up and eat a piece of candy from an advent calendar.
It took me way too long to figure out. It took me way too long to figure out what she like that it was candy. I don't know. I was just like.
I mean,
oh yeah, they're like little Reese's cups, I think.
Yeah, they look like Rolos.
They did. I bet you that's what that was.
Those are so good. Mm-hmm. But that advent calendar is gorgeous.
It really is.
I was like, that's got to be at least like 200 at the very minimum.
Yeah, it was a nice wood one. You think she got it in Tinseltown?
C'est possible. Je sais pas.
Important question. Did she buy it or did she make it?
No, she didn't make that shit. She probably had some German dude make it. Right. Her dad gifted it to her or her mom because her parents traveled. I think her parents traveled to Germany and they're like, Christy, we got you this because you fucking love Christmas. And she's like, hell yeah.
Guys, I gotta tell you something. And I know this isn't related to the podcast or the movie at all, but to the audience, I just got a new microphone and I put my skunk. I have a skunk puppet that I put over it. And it's a black skunk. And I just saw it move. I saw its arm move. And I got really freaked out until I realized my cat is behind it. And it was her tail.
I thank you for not yelling because I'm wearing earbuds and that would have hurt. But even if you had, I would have understood.
It really freaked me out for a second.
I was about to like go throw you some sage. I was about to grab your apartment. Sage your apartment.
Like I was just
like, all the windows.
Sorry. I feel like that needed to be said, and now we can move on with the plot.
I don't understand what kind of person wakes him up at 6:25 in the morning and then immediately eats a piece of fucking chocolate.
All I could think was like, that's just caramel in my teeth.
Yeah. But I mean, she does brush her teeth.
Sure.
I don't like that.
I guess, yeah, maybe it's better to eat candy before you brush your teeth so it doesn't stay on your teeth. Yeah, I feel like candy that early would make my tummy upset. But I've got a fickle tummy. I got a fickle morning tummy.
So she's talking to her best friend of color about a promotion that she wants to get at work. So she works for a toy making company. She's currently working in sales and she wants to get a promotion to toy maker, which I don't feel like.
That's not a natural jump from sales for sure. Like you go from sales to marketing or maybe even sales to HR, but like sales to product designer.
Yeah. I mean that, you know what? I'm going to accept it and move on.
I mean, it's possible.
I like that character note because it was sort of on theme of the whole like, female Buddy the Elf kind of thing where like also she wants to make toys, you know, like she loves Christmas, she wants to be a toy maker, you know.
No, yeah, it was like, of course, like a super seasonally appropriate industry to get into. And she was so happy and she's so peppy and I love her personality. Because at first I thought it was going to be like kind of grating of her just being like, ha ha! But she also just like doesn't take shit. Like, she knows what she wants, but she just happens to be, like, positive and peppy about it. Like, I'm down. I can relate to that.
Yeah, you don't get too many ambitious heroines who are, like, also really sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought there was a lot of, like, really good... complexities is a strong word for what I'm trying to get at here, but there are other parts to her personality than just one thing than what, you know, a rom-com heroine is usually.
Right. Character notes.
Yeah. Also, I liked that it kind of set her up to be like, hey, she likes what she likes and she wants to keep sticking to that. But then in the end, she kind of wavers when it comes to her boyfriend. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, with men, you know, we all get crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Men be tripping. So when she talks to her best friend about this promotion, her best friend's like on the phone. She's like, oh my God, my son's teacher is so hot. She's just cute, but whatever. We all know she means hot.
Yeah.
So she goes into work to present a pitch for a toy line to a man named David Berger. Is Berger a Jewish name?
Yes.
Okay. Just checking. She.
But to sort of your question and also the theme of the movie, it's not one that sort of jumps out at you.
Yeah, it's not like a Steen.
Right, like it's not Friedman, it's not Epstein, it's not, you know, whatever.
Like Artie Goldberg.
Right, like exactly. Yeah, Seinfeld, like it's not.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, but that's why I was like, isn't it? Because it's not like Berger, like German.
Right. Like it's a good name. It's a good last name if you want to introduce the ambiguity that is at the crux of this movie.
Yeah, which this is what happens. So she makes her presentation to David Berger, and then she's like bursting with energy. She's like, I fucking love Christmas. She's like, I fucking love my job. Just like me when I'm like, I fucking love this movie. Me and Christy are like twinning with the like bursts of energy. So David really, really likes her presentation. He really, really likes her vibe. And he's like, you like the holidays, don't you, Christy? And she's like, I sure do, David. He's like, come to my holiday party. She's like, I'm a holiday expert.
All right, look, he set her the fuck up.
He did set her the fuck up. And I believe he fucking knew it. Because she's like, I'm a holiday expert. He's like, oh, yeah? Well, we'll test your holiday expertise.
In my notes for that exact line was... Bet you don't know your bracha from your shamash.
I don't. Well, you know what? I know what a shamash is.
Well, they do get into that. I was impressed with that they did that, actually. I wasn't expecting quite the level of education that they actually did introduce into this movie.
I really think, because I think this is a Lifetime movie, I think they were like, you know what? Hallmark really fucked up with their Jewish Christmas movie. Let's bring up
show them how it's done.
Craig from Degrassi and your girl who don't remember her name from Pitch Perfect. Oh my gosh. Oh, I love this movie. Anyway, so David invites her to the holiday party. She's a holiday expert. Then we meet her, her tool of a boyfriend. And I say this because, like, he's calling her while he works out and he's like, oh, just Rowan, babe. And like, you can kind of get the feeling that he's like dismissing her when he talks to her. Like, you can see that there's some kind of like hesitation there with like why they don't live together and they've been dating for this long and then they're in this quote unquote serious of a relationship.
How long have they been dating?
Unknown, but like, I feel like it's decently serious.
Yeah, it was pretty serious.
Yeah.
Like, serious enough that, like, years. Him not showing up to her family's Christmas was kind of a shitty, shady thing to do.
Yeah.
But they also, like, never kissed or had sex and he never stayed over.
Yeah, well, you know what? That's their loss. That's the fun part of having a boyfriend. Doing all the sexy stuff. But you can kind of tell, like, there's some kind of, like, hesitation in the relationship. So she goes and gets coffee with her coworker / BFF, and she's like, Samantha, OMG, David invited me to his holiday party, and he even asked me to participate, and Samantha's like, oh my God, that's a big honor. And I was like, oh my God, they're about to drop the bomb. And then Chrissy's like, oh my God, I'm a Christmas expert. And then she's like, Christy.
Oh, you sweet summer child.
David's Jewish. And she's like, say what?
Record scratch.
Her face was so perfect when that was revealed. She's like, come again? Mm-hmm. What? Yeah, he invited you to a Hanukkah party. You
alert.
A Hanukkah expert.
Jews exist.
What? Yeah. Chicago?
What?
Crazy. Oh, and I kind of liked, okay, by saying I kind of liked, that was sarcasm. Her boss was like, oh, David will be a numbers man. Like, oh, Jewish people, all they care about is numbers. What about their creativity?
That's like, pretty gross.
Yeah, I got it the second time around. I was like, this motherfucker. I hated the boss. The boss is a piece of shit.
He was kind of slimy.
Yeah, he's pretty lame.
He was also really dumb, too.
Yeah, I don't know how he got to be boss. It's bullshit.
You know, we'll touch on it later. Like, what are the fucking action dolls? The financial district action dolls?
Congressional action.
Yeah.
Dumb government shit.
Oh, it's the dumbest.
Yeah.
It's the
dumbest idea. And he's like, yeah.
He's like, love it. Let's run with it. And Chrissy's like, no, it's boring. And he's like, yeah. Anyway, we'll get to it. So she has to learn about Hanukkah.
You're fine.
Hanukkah in 8 days, essentially, basically. So Samantha's like, oh my God, why didn't I think of this? My son's hot teacher is Jewish. His last name's Silver. Is that a Jewish name?
Yes, it is.
Tight. So, oh my God, is there like a duo called Gould and Silver?
No, but there fucking should be.
Oh my God. I know, right? I'm a genius. Jesus Christ.
That's Silver and Goldman.
Well, Silver and Goldman, but yeah, either one, I'm fine with.
Yeah, fine.
We're hilarious. Oh, we also find out when she's at this coffee shop that she has like a hard ass coffee order. Let me see if I can remember it. She wants a pumpkin spice latte with soy milk, no foam, heated to 120 degrees with no whipped cream, 3/4 of the way full. In her reusable cup.
In her own cup. Was it a pumpkin spice or was it gingerbread or?
She said pumpkin spice at one point.
She did? Okay.
Yeah. I've seen this movie 10 fucking times, Jill.
You know what? I don't know why I don't even know why I questioned you. I'm sorry.
And I used to be a barista. Ugh. Anyway, half a barista. Anyway. So Samantha gets her son's hot teacher to agree to meet with Christy so they can exchange holiday knowledge.
Mm-hmm. How does Samantha know that he needs like Christmas help?
Post after school parent teacher conference.
Training. That's right. That's right.
Yes. I don't remember
which was specific, but they kind of called themselves out on it. And she's kind of like, is that a thing? And you're like, yeah, it's a thing. Like, get over it. So, like, they're aware, but they're fine with it.
So the thing that I actually kind of liked about that, like, lampshade that they hung on it aside, we get the sense that Samantha is single and thirsty.
You know what? Bless her.
True.
I hope she needs it. She's a working mom that's so smart, and she needs that promotion, and she needs that D. Or V, whatever. Anyway, so she's agreed to let Samantha's son's hot teacher teach her. They'll meet tomorrow. But she goes home and she's like working on this toy line. She's so hyped about this fucking party. And so her boyfriend brings her food. She's like, oh my God, babe, thank you so much. I totally forgot. I'll get us some plates. He like barges in, fucks up all the shit she was working on, like moves her, like just ignores that she was at her workstation computer and just immediately starts watching the game. And she's like, while she's setting up her food, she's like, hey, are you watching the game right now? He's like, yeah, my cable's out. And I was like, oh, you motherfucker. You literally only came over to her house so you could watch the game, and you brought food just because you knew this bitch would forget to eat. And you brought her coffee and you were like, oh, it's black. It's like way better than that bullshit you drink. I fucking hate him. This is why I disagree with you, because this is only the second time we've met him. He's a piece of shit.
Well, I mean, that was the thing. That was the thing. Like, the bringing her food when he knew that she hadn't eaten felt like sort of a bait and switch, if that makes sense. Mm. Where, like, we're going to show him do this one thoughtful thing. Oops, he's a dick.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, there's obviously a reason, like, why she's with him, even though they're not sleeping together.
Yeah, and he does just enough nice things to keep him around.
Yeah, exactly.
I've had boyfriends like that, for sure.
Yeah, me three.
Where it's like, he's so sweet, where am I else am I going to find a guy who, like, even thinks about one thing about me? That's like, oh, wait.
I mean, he cheats on me, but, like, he loves me, too.
I feel like a princess every time he cleans the kitchen once a fucking year.
Okay, that's too goddamn real.
Oh, man, you've been with people that have cleaned?
My partner's better at cleaning than I am. I'm terrible at it.
Derek's fucking dope. Anyway, she goes to the coffee shop the next day to meet the Hanukkah teacher, because he's going to teach her Hanukkah. And she orders her complicated drink again, because she fucking likes what she fucking likes. And this guy behind her starts heckling her about her complicated drink order. And she's like, "What? Who the fuck are you? Why are you being rude to me? I like what I like. I'm going to order what I'm going to order." She, you know what? She was really cool about it, though. The girl fucked her order up, but she didn't make a stink about it. She just was like, "Thank you," and then moved on with her life.
Yeah, that's nice.
She's such a good... I fucking love Christine.
I mean, so I also have a kind of a specific order, is when I go to a bar, I get a single tall tequila soda with a lime.
My friend Caitlin has a specific order. She would be like, "Hey, can I have a glass of wine halfway full, and then can you fill the rest with soda water?"
Ew.
It's just a wine spritzer. That's basically what that is.
A wine spritzer. White wine spritzer.
Oh, white wine. I was thinking red wine.
Ew.
Oh.
Maybe like a chocolate red wine, but no. Yeah. I'm really particular when I go. I rarely go to Starbucks. And I rarely go to like coffee shops because I know I'm allergic to caffeine. So whenever I order, like once a year, I'll try to get a pumpkin spice thing. I'll get a pumpkin spice cream frappuccino with almond milk or coconut milk, because soy makes me weepy. And then I will still get whipped cream even though I'm lactose intolerant.
Yeah, that's it. That's the good stuff.
No, I just really want coconut.
That pumpkin spice cold brew thing that Starbucks had this year was pretty great. I was a fan.
I do like pumpkin spice anything. I don't give a shit how fucking... I don't basic how basic that is. I like what I like, and I'm not gonna apologize for it, just like this character.
Nor should you.
Okay, I'm gonna say my kick butt coffee order, because I have to feel like I need to wrap up small business. My kick butt coffee order is usually a it's like a chocolate chai with almond milk.
Ooh.
Yeah. So nice. They'll like get like the chai concentrate, and then they'll mix it with almond milk, and they'll put like 4 pumps of chocolate syrup in it. Super fucking good. Pour it over ice. Man, now I fucking want one. Shit. I'm just going to kick butt. So support your small businesses, especially small bars and cafes and kung fu / tai chi schools.
That's what I'm saying, is like, I know we should absolutely be social distancing at all costs, but at the same time, there are so many wonderful local businesses, and if there is somewhere that you feel safe going to that is outdoors, that has like an appropriate amount of social distancing, that's doing everything they can in order to stay safe, I think that you should support local businesses. And especially because if you want us to come out of COVID with nothing but like McDonald's, Wendy's, and Subways, Starbucks, like go to local places, like wear a mask, bathe yourself in hand sanitizer, but like please, like don't order shit on Amazon, like order shit from people who are being socially responsible and local businesses.
Yeah.
We've hit up Nervous Charlie's a lot.
Oh, I fucking love it. I used to fucking love going there right before my old job that I lost. It was on the way.
That place is dope.
Anyway, anyway, let's continue. But also, like, I don't politely. Anyway, let's continue. Shout out to all of our local coffee shops. Wear your fucking masks, bitches. Uh-huh. The annoying guy that gives her a lot of grief in the line all of a sudden comes up to her and brings her an apology muffin. Which I'm like, yes, sexy man, bring me some food. I'll eat it. Shit. I'm fat. But anyway, so he apologizes and she's like, oh, thank you. And then he waits for her to apologize. What the fuck does she need to apologize for?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I kind of was like, I'm not following this here.
Well, you know, she was holding up the line with her obnoxious order.
No, she's a paying customer. Like, she said it really fast. She said it once. She accepted what she got. I mean, I definitely could see how, like, hearing that order, it was really obnoxious. But, like, you're at a coffee shop with, like, those options.
Yeah.
There.
And it was pretty fast. Like, they made that latte pretty goddamn fast.
No, they did.
Even if she made it wrong, she still almost had it right. I think... Oh, you know what? She also had an extra shot of espresso in that drink. Totally forgot about that. That's really sad. I memorized her coffee order. Anyway. So she, like, starts to accept his apology muffin. And then she's like, what do I have to be apologized for? Then Samantha shows up. She's like, oh, you two have already met. And they're like, what?
Dun, dun, dun.
This is the lady I have to hang out with about Christmas. And she's like, this is the man that's going to teach me about Hanukkah. She's like, no, thank you. I would rather Google. And then, like a mom, Samantha goes, stop the both of you. And then she, like, bitches both of them out. They're like, you need each other. Jonathan, you need her because you have a new girlfriend that you have to impress about Christmas information with her dad coming into town. And Christy, you need to learn about Hanukkah so you can pitch this new toy line to David Berger. And then they accept each other's apology muffin and she fists it into his hand. And I was like, that's disgusting. Get in there.
They do that another time in the movie too.
I know, it's so gross and there's jelly dripping on her fucking hand.
I know. And like bits like going on the floor. Like they are, okay, yeah. They don't know how to use napkins.
They don't know how to use knives. They could have just like taken a napkin and broken it apart in the middle and he grabbed his half of an apology muffin. She grabbed her half of the apology. You know what? Even before the time of like oceans of hand sanitizer, they could have done this a lot better.
Because even for a person who will put takeout burgers on a plate.
Right.
Like she doesn't want to put half a sticky muffin on a napkin.
Right. You're correct. You're absolutely correct. Even though I fucking love this movie, there are things that piss me off about it, and that is life.
Yeah, true.
Still fucking love this movie. Anyway.
But it's, yeah, again, like, it's just, like, I was just smiling, because I loved, what are the characters' names? Jake and Kelly.
Jonathan and Christy.
Jonathan and Christy, they are just such delightful lead characters.
No, and they have such good chemistry. I love them so much. Oh, but in this scene also, his girlfriend calls him and is like, can you bring me some fruitcake and a wreath? And he's like, yeah, babe. Sure, whatever the fuck that means. They immediately, after they give their apology muffin, they like immediately leave and they're kind of like talking. And we find out that she knows nothing about Hanukkah. He doesn't know anything about Christmas other than it happens in December, or at least in that time of the year. And so we find out that it's like the first night of the first day of Hanukkah at that point. And he's like, whoa, crazy. We have 8 days to learn all this stuff. Get it? And she's like, nope. And he's like, okay, well, we're going to go to this store. And they go to a store called Little Mitzvahs.
A Judaica shop.
Is that what it's called?
That's what it's called.
Oh. Judaica. So we go in there and he's going to start teaching Chrissy about Hanukkah. And he starts with the menorah. So he kind of explains on the walk that you light the menorah with the middle candle, which is the shamash.
Shamash.
Shamash. And you go from right to left. You begin on the first night with one candle, and then two candles for the second night, and then so on and so forth. We go into the little mitzvahs, and we see this gorgeous older lady, and he's all like, hey, girl. But he doesn't say girl. He says safta, which means grandmother. Mm-hmm. And so he gets a menorah. Chrissy's like, oh, my God, this stuff's so pretty. Gets to know Tova. That's her name. And they see pictures of Jonathan's travels around the world. And Tova's like, Jonathan, is this your new girlfriend? And she's like, no. We literally just had a fight. We met like 30 minutes ago.
But she already knew. She already knew.
Grandma's fucking know.
I know.
So she gets a menorah. She gets a really cute one. Like, I like it. It's like wooden and all natural and stuff like that. What's your menorah look like, Jill? Do you have one?
I will go get it because I can't. I got it from Target, but it's really cute. Hang on.
Wait, wouldn't a wooden one like burn down?
No, it's candles.
It's treated wood.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know how candles work.
That's so cute. Can I have a menorah if I'm not Jewish?
Probably not.
Okay. Well,
so it was like not good that she had a menorah and she wasn't Jewish.
It was weird.
So really quickly, because, well, they go over this in a second. What is the circumstance in which latkes are served with applesauce versus sour cream?
Oh, yeah, because they go get latkes afterwards.
Whatever the fuck you want.
Oh, yeah?
Do you prefer sour cream? Do you prefer applesauce? I like to put both sometimes.
You wild girl.
Look.
Okay, so it's not like a regional thing?
It may be. I don't know.
I do want to try latkes.
They're pretty great.
Right after they meet Tova, Safta Tova, they go and get latkes because Tova was like, you can't start with the menorah. You have to start with the latkes and because you got to learn on a full stomach.
Yeah.
Here's my plot hole right here. He was just on the phone with his girlfriend who told him to get raisin fruitcake. Then he goes and meets her for lunch. That bitch could have got it herself.
I thought it was really refreshing that, like, she was sweet and they didn't have a female competition thing going on.
I will agree with you on that. The only reason why I'm salty about it is because she broke Jake Epstein's heart. That's it.
Yeah.
that's my I should be glad she broke up with him so he could get with Christy.
Did we get a good reason for that?
Yeah, we got it.
She just wasn't ready.
Yeah. She thought they were getting too serious too fast. Anyway, they get latkes. He introduces her to Sufganiyot. So the next day, they find out that David is also inviting the competition to his holiday party. Boom, boom, boom. It's called Toys and Tricks. That's their competition. Honestly, I don't even know what her fucking job is called. I don't know what her business is called. Anyway, so she asks. Toys and Tricks
definitely sounds like a brothel that they also sell sex toys at.
You're right. It does. Maybe they wanted us to subconsciously think that it was like a den of sin.
So one of the things that was really interesting to me about Christy being like wanting to be a toy person, she didn't really seem into toys. Everyone I know who's been involved in like the making of toys has like just had just walls covered in action figures and Legos and, you know, dolls and all kinds of all different kinds of toys. And she had the very like Airbnb nice done up for Christmas apartment.
Yeah, I agree.
And like, because she was so in love with Christmas, I bought that she was into toys, but I never saw the like, what kind of toys did she love? What kind of toy does she want? Like, I feel like part of the problem she had with trying to figure out what to pitch was there was no sense of like, what was the toy she would have wanted as a child? Like, we never got that.
Ooh. Maybe she was so wrapped up in her own Christmas bullshit. She didn't think about it.
She just likes receiving toys, okay?
Right.
Yeah, did she have a skunk puppet that she can slip over a microphone?
Dude, I don't even think she had a teddy bear, and she totally would have been the kind of person to have, like, a teddy bear.
Reindeer.
Yeah, like, something.
Her fucking playlist was named... She named her Alexa Rudolph.
Oh.
I missed that. That's and adorable.
She's like, Rudolph play Christmas mix number 43. She had at least 43 Christmas playlists.
I've got two.
This bitch. I have one. It's just a... It's a twerking Christmas...
That's amazing.
House music Christmas.
Anyway. Is that on Spotify? I might need to peruse that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm compiling it at the moment because I'm crazy. But she asks Jonathan to meet her at Tinseltown. Dun, dun, dun. And she meets him at Tinseltown, which I'm really happy that she brings him to like a market of small businesses that's in a scary alley. That's pretty tight. She also tells him that you feel Christmas on the inside when you look it on the outside. So she says that he needs to wear more red and green. And she introduces him to fruitcake. I haven't had real fruitcake ever.
I've never been. Even at its best, it's never been good for me. But, you know, to each their own. Do you know what's a traditional Christmas treat that they don't have in America?
Pavlova.
Oh, yeah, definitely that. Mincemeat pies.
You know what? I made a mincemeat cake, like a mincemeat bread.
Nice. Yeah, I think it's delightful.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I'll fuck with some mincemeat. I'll fuck with some Christmas pudding.
Did your families have dishes that were like the thing for Christmas dinner?
No.
My parents aren't very big on traditions or... loving each other.
This is really funny because my family did have that thing.
what was your Christmas thing or a Hanukkah thing?
Christmas thing.
What was your Christmas thing?
My mom made hot and sweet Italian sausages and potatoes.
Oh. So traditionally, Filipinos will make lumpia for everything.
Yes.
Which is good because lumpia is amazing.
But the last few years, my dad's been doing this thing for Christmas where he'll serve fucking prime rib and lobster.
Okay.
And I'm like,
we'll stir down with that.
I'm like, okay, free food, I'll eat that shit. What else?
My mom likes prime rib and lobster.
Mashed potatoes, though. We always have mashed potatoes. Yeah. And she likes making green bean casserole, which I don't mind eating.
My mom is a champion of pies, though. Like, her pumpkin and pecan pie. Oh, man. Yeah.
I messed up a pumpkin pie one year.
As in, you ate it all, or you, like, tried to bake it and you fucked it up?
I baked it, but I forgot a key ingredient.
Pumpkin?
Sugar.
Oh, no!
It sucked so bad. I was so pissed. No. It was a big-ass pie, too. I was like, fuck.
No. Sugar. You just forget sugar.
Me, I'm dumb. I, like, worked at a bakery. I worked at several bakeries, and I fucking forgot sugar. Anyway, I did buy a fruitcake this year from a friend. She's going to send it to me. So she goes home. Christy goes home and makes latkes.
Yeah, the fact that the boyfriend came home and was like, I don't like fried potatoes in this form. Like, he didn't say that, but that's what he implied.
Like, what?
Yeah, like, it's like, potato. Sorry.
Latkes are delicious.
He turned down latkes to go get Chinese food. I'm just going to point that out. Like,
he thought it was too weird. So he had to get...
Let the record show that I'm just sort of blankly staring and blinking.
Yeah, no, it's like fucking weird. Like, they're both like greasy. I'm not saying that like Chinese food is unhealthy in any way, but like takeout Chinese food.
American Chinese food is like full of fried, like it's full of dough and
fried. I'm not saying it's bad food. It's fried because what latkes are made with like chicken rendered fat, usually, traditionally or whatever, schmaltz.
Yeah.
But like, I tried to look
up. My mom did them, I think, in olive oil. No, because olive oil has too low a smoke point.
Yeah.
I forget what kind of oil. She probably just used like canola oil or something.
Then he gives her a shitty toy idea, and then she lights the menorah.
Just to circle back on that one last time, Who says no to the smell of frying potatoes and onions? A
dumb bitch. Should that shit, as long as it wasn't schmaltz, it's vegetarian because it's only an egg.
Yeah.
I don't know what matzo ball is made out of, but I'm sure it's not anything with...
It's crushed up matzo.
There's crackers. There you go. Right?
Yeah, matzo it's crackers. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. There's no egg and crackers. Milk and I don't think there's milk and crackers, right? Because don't Jewish people have like a thing with dairy?
Yes. You cannot mix meat and dairy.
Yo. The next day, Jonathan invites her to back to Tinseltown, and she gets there. She realizes that he's got to set up a table set up of fruitcake, and he's raising money for his class. And she's like, "Oh my god, this is definitely in the high school spirit, the Christmas spirit." And he's like, "It's the Hanukkah spirit too." So they get on the topic of wrapping presents. So she's like, "Come on over. I've got a whole ass kit to wrap presents." So he goes to her house and they start wrapping presents, and they talk about how he's like a really good teacher and he teaches kids and that he loves kids and he wants kids, but his girlfriend doesn't want kids. And Christy's like, "Oh my god, you got to be with someone who wants the same thing as you. Don't give up your dreams of having children." And then they almost kiss.
Yeah, because she knows exactly what she wants. And so she should know that with her relationships.
Yeah. But they're interrupted. Mm. They almost kiss because they like look at each other so lovingly. And they're like, "Oh my god, it's been like 4 days and I love you." They're interrupted by a phone call from Samantha. And Samantha's like, "Hey, Christy, come to the office right now. It's an emergency." So he has to leave her apartment. And there's like kind of an awkward moment, but like it's like a nice moment also.
Yeah. She's like, "I don't want to leave you," kind of thing.
Well, also like she's like, "Hey, I gotta go, but it wasn't because like we almost kissed. I like literally have to go for work." And he's like, "I totally get it. I'll leave." So she goes into the office and she has to kind of like soft pitch an idea to her boss about what she's going to pitch to David Berger at his party. And they find out that Toys and Tricks are also invited to the party, which is like fucking crazy. And then she gives him, before Jonathan left her apartment, he gave her the idea to do a comic book with the toy. So she also pitches that to her.
Yeah. Boss. With the action figure, the
congressional action figure with a comic book, educational comic book. Which is like kind of cool, but kind of stupid and boring. So she hates it. Her boss loves it. And then we find out that Edgar, little shitty marshmallow boy, is a corporate spy.
Dun, dun, dun.
He takes pictures of the blueprints. That's what toy blueprints are, right?
Yeah.
So
it was very Willy Wonka of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Slughorn. That bitch. Anyway, it's the next day. And she had asked him, like, "Hey, do you want to do something, like, early Sunday morning?" I guess it's a Sunday morning. They get a tree. And it's, like, the 20th of December. Why are they getting a fucking tree on the 20th of December? That's late.
Well, for him, he doesn't know what Christmas is.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, well,
isn't there, like, an old, like, I definitely know that there are people who wouldn't decorate until like Christmas Eve, like they would
teach their own.
Yeah,
I mean, it might be a thing where they celebrate the 12 days after Christmas,
or like Epiphany.
Yeah, the actual 12 days of Christmas.
Yeah, where you know that they're like making their way downtown, walking fast. That's a song they sing when the three kings are like getting there.
Dragon trees. I'm homebound.
the three kings were called Van, Nessa, and then Carlton.
I did not. I like legitimately thought that you were.
Oh no!
Oh my god! That's so good.
Oh, but yeah, they're getting a tree really fucking late. And they have a discussion about Samantha and how she's probably insecure to try to get the sales, to try to get a sales job, and she wants to be assistant to the president, which I feel like assistant to the president's a pretty fucking cushy ass job.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you don't have to rely on commission.
Yeah. She mentioned something, they talk about kids again, and she's like, see, you're so good with kids, you have to have a ton. And I'm like, whoa, slow down there, girl. Don't bless that man with a bunch of fucking kids. He's already 30, Jesus. So he ends up finding the biggest tree because he's like super crazy about Christmas. And they take it to Jonathan's apartment to decorate. She brings up her backup decorations because this dumb bitch has backup decorations. I noticed that they were all blue.
I'm not going to lie. During the scene, I got excited and I pulled out my decorations and I started decorating while they were decorating.
Oh my God, that's so cute.
The original plan for, or one of the original plans for tonight, my partner and I were going to clean the house and get it all Christmas out because 2020 has been a year and we need some fucking jolly.
Hell yeah.
Because you need a little Christmas right this very minute. Something in the stairway, pencil on the spinet, and I don't know all the words, but I'm pretty sure it's Slenderman coming through the windows. Killing up your family now.
Oh God, that took a turn.
Wait, that's Chris. That's what Christmas is. You do not. We're teaching you about Christmas.
Some guy with no face comes into your house and
exactly.
And that's great.
He's a jolly fat man, but he's actually the Slender Man.
Oh my God!
Oh man, what if the Slender Man went to the bad kids' houses? Getting ready for him this year. So they decorate Jonathan's apartment with her backup Christmas decorations. Then they light the menorah. And then she's going on a date with Pete that night. So he picks her up at Jonathan's apartment, townhouse, whatever thing. So she goes to freshen up. Pete tells Jonathan that he got her an interview for a really fucking lame job at a bank. And Jonathan ends up telling Christy, he's like, hey, I thought, you know, you loved your job. And she's like, yeah, I do. What the fuck are you talking about? And he's like, well, it's none of my business, but like Pete did this thing. And she's like, you're right. It's none of your business. And I really like this fight because it like makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like the one miscommunication fight that happens in a movie. And it 100% makes sense.
I like that. Instead of like, let me cut you off there and I'm leaving so you can't explain yourself.
Yeah. It's like he's saying one thing, she's taking it another way. It's genuine miscommunication. But then at the dinner, she realizes that he is correct because Pete's like, oh, I have something to surprise you. And she's all like already, she's like, now is not the fucking time to propose. Like she's already prepared for it. And then he pulls out this paper. He's like, I got you an interview. If you get that promotion, you'll get this job. And she's like,
who the fuck like gets a promotion and then leaves their company? Who the fuck does that?
She gets a promotion to the job she fucking wants, which is a right? toy designer, and then she leaves to be a banker for a 20% raise.
I don't think he knows how business works. I don't think any of these people knows how business works.
Well, you know what his job is? He's in stocks. That's the only description he has for his job.
I went to the stock market today. I did a business.
I got the stock market and basketball games. What's up? Just hanging with the bros. I'm a rowing machine. Fucking Pete. Oh, man. She realizes that this is what Jonathan was talking about. And she's like, oh my God, I have to apologize to him. So she goes the whole next day, like, thinking about it. And she doesn't know what to make for her toy line. She makes latkes. She's like about to call Jonathan, but like she knows that she kind of fucked up. She doesn't call Jonathan. She still lights her menorah. So the next day, it's like the day before her family party. So it's the 22nd at this point. And she has like a genuine conversation with her dad. Like, hey, is everything all right? She's like, no, but I'll be okay. And he's like, go get some coffee. She's like, thanks, dad. That was good advice.
We never see the mom, do we?
Yeah, we do.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Yeah. Very briefly. She's just a white lady.
Yeah. I was gonna say, she's not really given a personality even the way the dad is, but
yeah, that's fair. I like that she can be like so honest with her parents though.
Yeah
what's that nice. Like that's crazy. So she goes to the coffee shop and she runs into Johnson's girlfriend Heather. I know. And they have a kind of a discussion about Jonathan. And Heather's like, yeah, everybody loves Jonathan. And Christy's like, you're right. Everybody does love Jonathan. And Heather's like, well, my dad liked Jonathan. And Christy's like, well, you just said everybody loves Jonathan. And Heather's like, oh, well, I have some things to think about. I gotta go. Bye. And we're like, oh, shit. We know she's thinking about breaking up with Jonathan. Fuck yeah. So... she orders her complicated coffee order. The barista gets it right this time. And the barista's like, you know what? I'm sorry. That was my first week when I fucked it up. But you like what you like. And I want to make sure you're getting what you order. And Chris is like, thank you. Oh, my God. So she knows she needs to apologize to Jonathan. So she goes to Little Mitzvah's, Tova's shop, and talks to Tova about what she could possibly get for Jonathan as an apology gift. She goes to Jonathan's with the gift. And they both, like, say sorry at the same time. It's so cute. Ugh, love it. Mm. And she presents him with the star for on top of the tree. And I do believe it's the Star of David, but it's, like, blue, but for the top of a Christmas tree.
He's like, this is the one I had, like, when I was a kid.
Yeah. And she was like, that's why your grandma said you should have it. And he's like, oh, my God, my fucking grandma. Love that bitch. Okay, so now it's the next day, and it's the day of her family's party. She gets Sam to run some numbers, just like casually. She's like, hey, Sam, can you just casually run some numbers? And Sam does it. And then Pete tells her he can't make it to the big holiday party with the parents. Was it pre-Christmas Eve?
Yeah.
That's a fucking stupid fucking name. And she's kind of bummed out about it because like she's like, this is my boyfriend. He should come spend time with my family. Anyway, she goes to Jonathan's and he's sad. He's got like a blanket on his head. Who does that? Was he fucking Linus or whatever? So she finds out that Heather broke up with him because she thinks that they were moving too fast and that if he met her dad would love Jonathan and it would be harder for her to break up with him. So she did it two weeks before Christmas.
And that's like a sensical reason to break up with somebody.
Yeah. I mean, that totally makes sense. Her feelings are totally valid. Mm-hmm. He's Jewish. So breaking up on Christmas doesn't matter, right?
Oh. Yeah. Still sticky, but at the same time, like the right move, if that's how she was feeling.
Well, yeah, I've broken up with a guy on Valentine's Day. I'm that bitch.
Cold hearted. I want to know, like, what Jonathan and Heather's Thanksgiving was like. They're only just now getting to the meet the dad thing. And also, were they living together?
No, one no. So. Okay.
He said that she was flying in.
He was, her dad was flying in.
Oh, her dad was flying in. Okay. Yeah. Never mind.
But they also mentioned that she was a new girlfriend. So new girlfriend can be subjective.
Mm. Sure.
Could be like brand new, like a few weeks, or it could be a few months. Anyway, Chrissy sees that he's sad. And she's like, oh my God, I got the best idea. Come to my parents' house. They set a place for Pete, even though this bitch isn't going to show up. Come to my parents' house. So they go to the parents' house. She makes him get dressed, probably at least put some Axe spray on so he's not sleepy. And then they have like a really good time at the parents' house. They realize that her parents are travelers and they've been to Israel. And there's like connections between Christmas and Hanukkah. And then there's the scene with the carolers.
So I have two notes about this whole sequence.
Yeah.
One, this man is in his 30s and he's never had eggnog. Strong doubt.
You know what? There are a lot of people that I've seen. They're like, I've never had eggnog.
Really?
Like, yeah. I'm in this like Christmas group and like a bunch of people are like, I've never had eggnog. I was like, whoa. Honestly, if you bring up eggnog to specific people, they're like, egg in a milky drink? What the fuck? And I'm like, no, I get it. It's kind of like weird.
I guess it's one of those, I don't know, like, I grew up in the Northeast, so, like, eggnog is, like, it shows up in the grocery store. Like, it's, like, here. It's, like, it shows up in the grocery store sometime in mid-October.
I do have to correct myself. It was an Asian-American group that a bunch of people were like,
that makes more
what
sense.
What the fuck is eggnog? And I'm like, I fucking love it. I found lactate eggnog.
Yeah.
I can't drink it right now because of the acid reflux.
The other note that I had about that scene was that you don't hire Jake Epstein and not have him sing. And they picked Hanukkah, Oh Hanukkah, which is really the most commonly known Hanukkah song other than Dreidel. Pardon?
Is he a singer?
I mean, his whole thing on Degrassi was Craig was like going to be a musician.
Oh, I didn't remember that. I just remember him being hot. Hot and
he's also hot with a guitar.
Yes. I want to shout out the little boy that was in the scene dancing to the Oh Hanukkah song.
He was getting down.
He was fucking rocking out. Also want to shout out. Yeah. I also want to shout out the caroler that looked directly into the camera. They were like lip syncing and they didn't know the words to the song. And then at the end of the song, they looked directly into the camera. I was like, fuck.
Oh my God.
So yeah, the mom
was made in like 2 weeks.
I fucking love this movie. So the mom invites him back for next year and he's like, oh, I'll do it. And she's like, you fucking better, bitch. So then the last Christmas lesson that she needed to teach him was that Christmas is all about family and spending time with the ones you love. And with family, I'm also including chosen family. The next day, she tells Samantha that she tricked her about the reports. And she was like, hey, I made you run those reports and I gave it to our president. And guess what? He loved him. And as soon as the sales position opens up, you're in it. She's like, oh my God, please get promoted so your sales spot opens up so I can get it. Then
I thought that was really cute. Like,
yeah.
Love a good friend.
Like a really important part of sales is accurate reporting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very true. She ends up going to Pete's house and she's like, hey man, why can't you go to this party with me? You're here. You're not at this game. And he's like, oh, well, I'm hanging with my boys. You don't need me. And she's like, it's not about need. I didn't need you. I wanted you there, but now I don't. Fuck you. So they break up.
My note for that scene was Beethoven's Fifth. This boyfriend sucks. 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 This boyfriend sucks.
Yeah. I love it.
Fucking Pete.
So I'm glad she kicked him to the curb because fuck him.
Also, sports guys. Ow. Sports guys are so. Sports guys. Sports.
I would love to date a rugby player. I'm sorry. I would love to date a team of rugby players.
I would love to be under a team.
I would love to be the caboose of the rugby players. So she goes to Jonathan's house to thank him for being like a good support system. And he's like, oh my God, you look so beautiful.
Oh yeah. This dress. Have we seen this dress yet?
No, we haven't. I think this is basically the dress reveal because she comes in and then like, I guess she takes off the coat and he's got the drooly, his tongue falls to the floor.
First of all, that coat.
Heart eyes, though, motherfucker. Like,
if you saw that coat, it was a gorgeous cream colored coat with like a larger lapel to it. Mm-hmm. And the lapel itself had these like really sharp, like gold embellishments on it that looked really freaking classy. And then she took it off. And this dress, I think, is one of my favorite dresses that we've seen so far.
It's beautiful. It's like a beautiful deep blue color. And she had those like pearls.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah, she looks real nice.
Oh, the cut of it, the color, the slit, the way the lines that it made her look like curvy but without being like sexy. Because it was like for a works function but like a fancy work function. I thought it just checked all my damn boxes.
Yeah, it was a beautiful formal party dress.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Great blue color. So she tells him that she broke up with Pete and he's like, oh no, I'm so sorry, wink wink, nudge nudge, not really. And then she's like, hey, can you come with me to this party? And he's like, do you need me? She's like, I don't need you. I want you. And he's like, all right, well, I'm going to go get dressed real quick. And then he comes down with his fucking suit on.
Oh, my note on this was, open the buttons on that jacket. Oh, God.
Just take off. Just put it on. Put the suit on. Let me look at you and then take it all off. Oh, my God. You look so good.
That man can wear a suit.
He can.
And it was like this deep blue. Oh, they matched. It was
the jacket was perfect. Tailored just like a shade too small. And the button was like.
Oh, yeah.
He was so muscly. All those teacher muscles. Oh, my gosh.
He benches children all day.
Oh, my God. I'm drooling. Okay.
Thinking about Jake Epstein makes that happen.
He's so hot. I love this goddamn movie. Okay. So
I love it because that's when he shows her the tree, right?
Yeah, because he's finished decorating. He's like, oh, we got this far. We might as well. And she's like, oh, my God, I'm so proud of you for decorating. Anyway, they, like, kind of, like, get together when she's got her pretty dress on. And then he's got his hot suit on. And they, like, kind of come close to where they almost look like they're about to kiss. And then she looks up. And you can, like, kind of see that they're hinting at that there's mistletoe. And she's like, hey, I hate to break it to you, but that's not mistletoe. That's parsley. And he's like, oh, oops.
How do you mistake those?
Yeah, like, that was another case where I was like, come on.
That was a cute joke, though.
That was a cute joke. That could be fixed by a basic Google search, just like this entire movie.
Yo, there was a note that I had where it was like, where she was like, do you think I can become a Hanukkah
expert?
Like a Hanukkah genius in like a week. And I was like, based on everything we've seen of you, yes.
She's like been doing a bunch of like research. Like she's been killing it in her job. She's like trying for another position, killing it with like research and like working late. Like you can't do a basic Google search of Hanukkah and its traditions. But that's okay. Anyway, you know what? Suspension of disbelief. We're here.
Yeah.
Yeah, stop talking shit about my really favorite. Curious,
I've got a slide deck for her. It's fine.
Well, I'd like to slide that deck.
So they go to the party. She brings David Berger some sufganiyot. She finds a Christmas room at this Hanukkah party. What? And they also find out that Edgar works for Toys and Tricks now, that little marshmallow bitch.
Yeah.
At this party, David says that they always reserve for lighting the menorah for a special guest. Is it like a rude thing for a non-Jewish person to light the menorah?
I mean, first off, it's been happening this entire fucking movie, so who cares? But like, I can see that being like a special guest of honor kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. She doesn't do it disrespectfully. Like, she's not
disrespectful about it. The other one of the things, and I apologize if I'm stealing your thunder on this one, Holly. One of the things that I had noted way back earlier in the movie when he first started teaching her how to light the menorah, I was like, why isn't he teaching her the prayer with the song? Because it's easier to remember prayers by song in another language. Because then you're just sort of learning like the phonetics and the mm-hmm. rhythm and whatever. And she shows up and she fucking sings the song and she did a pretty good job. And I was like, when she learned that? Like, we didn't see Jonathan teach her. Like, did she do a Google? Like, what happened there?
He probably, you know what? I don't care. I don't care when she learned. I'm just really glad that they didn't waste her singing. Because, like, in the beginning, I was like, oh, that's that girl from Pitch Perfect. That's all I remembered. And then when they got to her singing part, I was like, oh, my God, she can sing. And then I was like,
yeah, she rocked it.
Pitch Perfect. And I was like, oh.
Hey.
Yeah.
She did great. David tells her that he doesn't like the competition's idea of congressional action figures. Oh, my God, they stole her idea. So she has to come up with a new idea fast because she's pitching him the idea at this party right now. So she gets Jonathan to distract everybody by singing the Hanukkah song again, and she has to come up with this new idea fast. But Jonathan is like, hey, you know what? I was playing Dreidel just now with the kids, but that's not like the real game that I would play during Hanukkah. I would pretend I was a Maccabee. And she's like, what did you just say? A Maccabee? So she gets the idea of her new toy line being the Greeks versus the Maccabees. So she runs to the car while he's singing Hanukkah. She changes the clothes on her congressional action figure into like a toga looking thing. And she runs back in and shows David the new Maccabee. And he's like, oh my God, I played that when I was a kid too. Holy shit, do you want to do business? And they shake hands and everybody's happy. And she grabs Jonathan's hand and they run to the Christmas room. She's like, oh my God, you love my idea. And he was like, oh my God, you were so awesome. And then she looks up and she's like, you know what? For a future reference, this is what mistletoe looks like. And a kiss.
I gave that kiss 5 stars of David.
Man, you know what? This kiss was a very, very solid, in my book, 4.5. I can't give it a 5. I don't feel good about giving it a 5, but I do feel very good about giving it a 4.5. Stars of David. Actually, you know what? 4 dreidels, 4 sides of the dreidel, and then like a wink from the star of David.
There you go. Just a little twinkle.
Yeah.
just one of the triangles in the star of David.
And the reason why I gave it this is because of his hands on her waist and then that stupid little sappy smile after they kiss. Like he was just like in heaven. Like he was, well, obviously he's Jewish, but like blissed out.
Yeah, because he had the sort of like soft eyes down.
Yeah.
Just like looking at her, just like with those just, oh, those melty eyes. You're just like, oh, he sees me. Sorry. Well.
What about you, Jill?
What's your guess?
I'll give it a 4.
Give it a 4? Hell yeah.
Okay.
Give it a 4.
Man, if some guy kissed me like that, I wouldn't know because my eyes would be closed too, but. Someone videotaped it.
There you go. Rewind. Let me watch that shit again.
And that's basically the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Aww.
The thing that cracked me up about the whole like congressional action figures and all of that is that I don't know if you guys are familiar with the company Unemployed Philosophers Guild. hilariously, there are a sort of novelty shop that I usually see at the Christmas market in Union Square in New York City. They're sort of very like Archie McPhee kind of like jokey cute gift item kind of thing, like museum gift shop kind of stuff. And they have action figures of like Shakespeare and Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Einstein and like all these different like historical figures. And all I could think was, well, if the kids aren't into this, send this over to Unemployed Philosophers Guild. They'll eat the shit up.
Nice. Yeah, that was a really dumb and lame idea. And then they made it also a dumb and lame idea. Not gonna lie. Sorry, Bible characters, even if they aren't, because Old Testament characters are a little spicier than New Testament. I get it, but it's still Bible characters.
It's like, it's like not everybody's gonna be VeggieTales, you know. It's usually not.
That's what I was thinking.
And they wanted a comic book to go with it. Isn't the comic book just the Bible without pictures?
With pictures.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So one of the like literally the last note that I have is when I guess someone suggests a toy line for Passover, and Christy goes, "Is that anything like Easter?" And my note is, bitch, you are my age. I know you watched Prince of Egypt.
Also kind of a low-key hottie, cartoon hottie.
Oh, no. Everyone in that movie can get it. Like,
yeah. But I just thought it was such a cute note to end it on of like, oh, they've got another holiday that they can learn from each other.
Oh, I love it. Oh my God.
Yeah. No, I had very, very warm feelings about this whole movie. Like it just, man, because again, like once you kind of get past the suspension of disbelief because of the movie needs to happen, like it's just, the characters are wonderful. The writing's really strong. It has like a good overall message.
Yeah.
Like for like basic, you know, Anglo-Saxon bitches like us.
Jill, do you think they treated the subject of Hanukkah respectfully?
I think so. I actually had trouble getting past the suspension of disbelief part, just because I grew up in a major metropolitan area. Mm-hmm. My mom never converted. We had Christmas. Like, we sang Christmas carols in school, and I didn't go to, and I went to a secular school, so it wasn't even like there was, you know, any kind of particular religious angle that it should have been coming from. I had so much trouble getting past that hurdle. They did treat the holiday respectfully. One of the things that's good, I guess, about Hanukkah in this context is Hanukkah is not a very serious holiday. The joke that I like to say is that Hanukkah is the Jewish Cinco de Mayo. Cinco de Mayo is a minor Mexican holiday that celebrates them kicking the French army out of Pueblo. Hanukkah is a minor Jewish holiday where we celebrate kicking the Greeks out of the temple. Like, it's kind of the same story, and really just sort of embraced by America to sell a shit.
Commercialism,
exactly. So, like, when you get right down to it, it's not like it's a solemn holiday, even the way Passover would be. It's really sort of a...
See, what you need is you need... I'm just going to tell you, because I know that you're the authority of all Jewish people. What you need is a mascot. You need a mascot, okay? Like, I don't know. Like, because you know how we got the Santa whole thing happening?
Right. Maybe John Lovitz did give us Hanukkah Harry.
What? What is this?
It's an old SNL sketch from like the late 80s, early 90s. It's pretty funny.
Because I know the Italians, they have like a Christmas witch.
I want you to guess how I just spelled Hanukkah when I Googled Hanukkah Harry. I just want you to guess.
Bad. You spelled it wrong.
H-A-N-N-A-C-H-U-A.
Wow.
I've spelled Hanukkah so much lately that I know how to spell it now. But not the C-H Hanukkah, the like just the H-A-N.
All right, I'm going to keep it 100. There are so many different ways to spell Hanukkah. I have to check if I'm like writing a long thing that I spell it at least the same way all the way through a thing. Because there are just too many ways to spell that damn name.
Yeah, I'm super down with Hanukkah Harry. That's amazing. I would definitely watch this movie again.
I will.
Would watch
this movie again a million times. And if anybody sees it on DVD or Blu-ray, please send it to me.
Ooh. I want it forever. Now I don't have to get you for Hanukkah.
Yeah. All 8 nights. Give it to me for all 8 nights.
8 copies.
Yes.
Well, Jill, do you have anything to promote?
I do. I am launching my YouTube channel soon.
Ooh.
So if you go to youtube.com/Jill-Friedman, spelled F-R-I-E-D-M-A-N, by the time you hear this, there will be, in fact, a whole YouTube essay about Hanukkah.
Ooh.
Hooray!
That includes the aforementioned slide deck. So, you know, always on that hustle. There's also a funny music video that's got like a whole little political folk song, some of my comedy bits up there.
I can't wait to check it out. Holly, do you have any housekeeping or just?
Nope.
Okay, cool.
Fucking much. That's the house note. Oh, social media. Please sign up for Patreon. Anybody that signs up for anybody that is a patron in December gets a fucking Christmas card from us. How cool is that?
Damn.
I know. So sign up. Yeah. Starts at $2. You guys have $2. We need to get better equipment. I need to get better equipment and pay for.
I got about Tree Fitty. Also, buy Holly's shit.
My art.
Her art is great. If you're looking for cute gifts for people, Holly's stuff is definitely the way to go.
Yeah, I put a link to the Etsy on our link tree because always promoting, baby.
Or, you know, if you just, I don't make stuff like that, but if you just want to Venmo me and just comment a compliment to me, that'd be super great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Venmo Scarlett. I'm going to put her Venmo also in the show notes.
Thank you. Just share. But it has love. To come with a compliment as well. Well, as a compliment to Jill, thank you so much for coming on the show. You're such a delight, and it was so wonderful getting to know you and your beautiful background and your perspective on this very delightful movie.
Well, thank you so much for having me. This was a whole lot of fun.
Yeah. Yay. Well, I hope that you have a very happy Hanukkah, but also more importantly, a very merry Netflix. Nailed it! Yeah!
Hi, this is Manny from Feliz Christmas, Merry Navidad, the bilingual, multilingual Christmas podcast. In our podcast, you will hear about foods, traditions, how this 2020 Christmas will be interesting, especially from 6 feet away, and many more new surprises. Join me on the road to Christmas, along with many guest hosts from other podcasts from the Christmas Podcast Network. You can listen to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Radio Public, or just search for us on your favorite podcast platform. You could also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FCMN Podcast. Or visit our website, fcmnpodcast.com. Feliz Christmas, Merry Navidad.